challenge that popcorn. Crosspoint fans, are you ready for the 7th annual Game Day Teach-Off?
Wow. Yes. Yeah, I like it. We definitely have a lively crowd out here, Eric. So now I want to know, how many Bronco fans do we have out there? All right. How about any Panther fans? Yeah, good. You're either under the age of 20 or you're lying.
Man, it's been a hard sell.
But just for kicks and giggles, how about some good old-fashioned Colts fans? Oh, wow, more Broncos fans than Colts.
All right. Well, my name is Eric. I'm the director of community life here at Crosspoint, and your nerdy announcer guy. Alongside me is my color commentator, co-host, formerly with ESPN, now with the NCAA. It's Cam Shue.
So, folks, we hope you brought your seatbelts today because you're about to see an epic battle of biblical truth meeting complete and utter irreverence.
Yeah, irreverent though as it may be, it's going to be a great time today. One note for you, and if I've said this once, I've said it a million times. Please, I implore you, do not crack your glow sticks until you've been instructed to do so.
Right you are, Eric. You know, even when you think it's time to crack your glow stick, hold on. Do not crack that glow stick until you're instructed to. You stand down, soldiers. So now, what will happen today, as in years past, should have gotten this place shut down a long time ago. But it hasn't.
All right. Well, we've got a great game and great show for you today. So before we get going this morning, let's go over the rules of the game. There's four that we especially want to bring your attention to. One is we're going to have seven-minute quarters this year. Mm-hmm. That's rule number one. Mm-hmm. Rule number two, three reference sources. One of them must be from the Bible.
That would help.
One random phrase per quarter, and number four, referee has all jurisdiction. Now, the one that I really want to bring your attention to is number three.
Yes.
It's this one random phrase per quarter. Mm-hmm. These are going to be random phrases that the teacher is going to have to weave into work into their teaching in order to get some points, and I'm going to warn you. Some of these could be inappropriate.
Well, absolutely. There is no question about the inappropriate levels that are going to happen today. But, I mean, with Kurt on the field, that's not going to be anything new.
Yes, you are correct. All right, let's head back down to the field for this morning's national anthem.
Ladies and gentlemen, we ask that you please rise and remove your hats. Here to perform our national anthem are two members of the Crosspoint band that you know all too well. Please welcome brothers from other mothers, and no, they're not related, Robbie Michael and PJ Towel.
Idea those guys from Duck Dynasty could play that way.
And now for your 2016 starting lineup. Introducing 7-year game day teach-off veteran, he's a coffee-pounding pastor, he's a master of the platform and a creator of words that frankly just don't exist. He's a beast on the field with moves like Jagger, the one, the only, Kurt Winters! And now, appearing in his very first game day teach-off, he floats like a butterfly and stings like a bee, known as Twinkle Toes on Ice Skates due to his Brian Boitano-like skills. He's lean, he's mean, and one kick motivator, the one, the only, Vince Constantine!
And I can't, before we get going, I think we should go over the keys for today's game.
I agree. And one of the things that you touched on already, one of the big keys is going to be these random phrases. I mean, you'll tell how random they are by how they use them. And I'm here to tell you, people, getting them in actually gets them extra points. It's going to throw an entirely new element into the game. And then it's also really critical that they control those penalties. So for Walters, it's important that Kurt goes off of his usual script and actually uses at least some scripture. You know Vince was going to be bringing it. And then finally, still keeping an eye out on this deflate gate. You know, keeping your balls inflated is very important.
All right. Slow down a little bit there, Tom Brady.
Okay. Well, no. From what I've been told, you know, you can inflate your friends, and you can inflate your balls, but you can't inflate friends.
Okay. Oh.
Why don't you
take a few plays off? All right. Okay, Cam. All right. Take a... That's probably good right there.
Okay.
All right, so we're going to move right along. We don't have the Patriots playing this year, so we don't have to worry about Deflategate and all those things. Let's head on down to the field, check in with our head referee, Mark Walters, and the coin toss.
All right, gentlemen, let's bring it together here. I want a clean, good teaching this morning. Keep the illegal references and others to a minimum, please. Kurt, you being the home team, I'm going to have you call it in the air.
Tails is what I'm going to be kicking today.
Last I checked, you've lost to a girl 2 years in a row.
Well, sir, it is tails.
Woo! Yes!
All right. Kurt, would you like to receive or kick the
table? I want to receive the ball.
Oh, he'll be receiving it, all right.
Kurt?
He's received the last few years, and it never helps.
Never.
All right, Kurt, if you'll please pick a random phrase. All right. Your random phrase is, Oh, I'm all about that bass. No trouble.
No treble. How about no rhythm?
Yeah, this is going to be very difficult for Kurt, and I think it's going to be very painful for us.
Well, hey, it's great to be together today. It's great to have you here. You know, we've been doing this for 7 years, and we just realized a few years ago that, you know, the one thing everybody in our country comes together on is the national holiday of the Super Bowl, right? So we thought, well, why don't we take this national holiday and meld it with church? And what do you know? Here we go, 7 years later, we're still doing this thing. So it's great to have you here, and we're excited about what's going to take place. Let me pray for us before we dive in today. God, thank you that we can come into this place and for the ability to have fun and for the Super Bowl, this great national holiday that we get to be a part of. We're so excited about that. And God, we want to laugh and have fun today. In fact, we've already been doing that. And you created us to do that, but we also want you to visit us. God, we want to continue to become more like you. So I just pray that you would help us to do that today. And we pray all these things according to your name. Amen. Well, you know, back in September, there were 32 teams, 1,600 individual players that started out the NFL season, and now we're down to just two. Why is that? Well, it's not just that these two teams have, you know, beat everybody to get to this point, but it's because these two teams are most team-like. Think about it, the Denver Broncos, and we got Peyton Manning, who's, you know, going to make history this evening, leading two separate teams to two Super Bowls with each team. And then, of course, you know, the Carolina Panthers, I mean, Cam Newton, my word, talk about a great team and a team that embodies what it means to be team-like. And they are both playing tonight because these are the two teams in the NFL who are most team-like. And so the question for us today is, do you understand team? Do you value team? And, you know, do you operate in the midst of team? Because the more you and I operate in the midst of team, the more successful we're going to be. In fact, here's what the book of Ecclesiastes says. It says, two are better than one because they have a good reward for their toil. For if they fall, one will lift up his fellow, but woe to him who is alone. When he falls, he has not another to lift him up. Again, if two lie together, they keep warm, but how can one keep warm alone? And though a man might prevail against one who is alone, two will withstand him. A threefold cord is not quickly broken. So what this is saying is that if one person who is very, very gifted falls, he needs another person to come and pick him up. And this is what happens when you work in a team. And if you have a threefold team, it says this is where power and potency really, really works. Why is that? Well, it's because this is how God wired us to work. In fact, this is how God wired the universe to work. All the way back in Genesis chapter 1, we find God saying these words. He says, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." And so this is actually a veiled reference to the Trinity, which, listen, I could take all day to try to explain the Trinity to you. I don't have time to do that right now. But this is God as one being, yet having three different persons, God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit. And this is how God has wired himself. It's also how God wires us to operate in the world as a team. And yet, we see very little evidence of this happening in our society today. Think about corporate America. Corporate America, for the most part, not committed to its employees. Employees not committed to their company. Social media, by and large, an individual sport. People who are married, marriage rates are going down, down, down because, you know, we have this idea that we're not seeing the value of this institution of marriage, so people are getting married in some cases later and later in life. People who are married, divorce rates are going up, up, up because we don't know how to operate in the context of a team together. So the signs are everywhere, and yet all great things that happen, happen in the context of team. You know, one of the better music groups of the last couple of decades, a group by the name of U2, maybe you've heard of them. And this band has been around for generations. In fact, it's funny, because generations younger than me kind of got bummed out by U2 a few years ago because, you know, iTunes, like, foisted a bunch of free music into people's, like, iTunes accounts, like, put a CD into your account, and people are like, "Oh, yeah, I don't want a free CD," you know, crying foul, and you know.
Eric, is it possible to put a free CD on your iTunes?
I think Kurt's a little out of touch there. He's mixing his mediums up a little bit.
Yeah. Do you think that he even knows iTunes is a digital media?
I don't think so. I think Kurt just got a VCR and pager, so I think he's a little out of touch. A little out of touch there.
That's what we'd call a multi-generational gap.
Bono, I'm a big fan of Bono. He was interviewed by a French journalist recently, and he was asked the question, "Do you wish ever that you were a solo artist instead of in a band?" You know what he said? He said, "Absolutely not." He said, "Look at all the greats, all the great things that have come out of music over the years. Take the Beatles, for instance." He said, "It all happened in the context of team." In fact, here's one of the things he said. He said, "Did they ever do better work on their own, these luminous, extraordinary talents? Did they? When they lost the tension? John Lennon actually nearly did, but finally his greatness will be remembered as the work he did with his nemesis, Paul McCartney. Look at Prince. What about Prince? He's all about the bass, no trouble."
Oh, and he did it. He slid it in.
Yeah, so many opportunities, but he did do it.
He says, "He's one of my favorite composers of the 20th century. I really believe in him. He needs an editor. He needs a row. He needs somebody in the studio to tell him to blank off. And guess what? There are 6 great tracks, and 4 of them are pretty average."
Oh, an early whistle.
That's a penalty. Personal foul, illegal references, come on. U2, Bono, the Beatles, Prince. I mean, before long, we're going to be talking about Justin Bieber. Oh, yeah. Let's get back to some football here. There's going to be a 3-point penalty at the end of the quarter for you.
Wow, 3-point penalty, that's pretty harsh.
Yeah, a little rough on the Bieber there. You know, the Walters, that lost 3 points just like that.
See, look at all the great things. Great things happen in the context of team. I mean, think about Crosspoint. We've been growing and growing and growing. Why is that? Well, the first reason we've been growing is because God is a graceful God. First and foremost, above all things, God is graceful. And who doesn't want God's blessing on us? But how does that happen here? It happens when people like you go out and you bless people with God's grace through Spread Some Cheer meal boxes, you know, uniform drives, the things that happen in and out of this building, every single work. This is how God works. In fact, God has created this team to be a blessing to the community every single weekend. And it's interesting because this permeates into the community. In fact, I was sitting in my daughter's office at her school recently. I was picking her up to go to an appointment, and I was waiting for her, and one of the admin came out, and they said, "Hey, I know you." And I'm like, "Oh, really? I don't know you." And I came to find, they said, "Yeah, I see you talking up on stage every single weekend. I sit way back in the back row." And I'm like, "Oh, that's awesome." And it was really a cool reminder of how broad the reach of this place is. And yet what I get really amped up about is when I'm in the community and maybe Crosspoint comes up and whoever's talking about it doesn't know who I am, and they talk about the impact Crosspoint's making or the way that this place is a blessing to people, and they have no idea that I'm the one that is connected here. I love, love, love that. See, we made a decision 9 years ago when we started this place to be about a purpose, not about a personality. And that's why you'll often hear me say things like, you know, those holding babies, serving coffee, the techs in the back. I mean, those roles are just as important as what I'm doing right here, because we decided to be about a purpose, not about a couple superstars on the stage, and we're trying to assemble a team that can continue to be a blessing and spread grace in our community. And all of us can learn from this. Every single one of us, that you need a team. It's how you're wired. All greatness in history has happened because of team. Do you know who your team is? Do you value it? We're going to help you do that today, because all great things happen in the context of team.
Touchdown, Walters. Great message, great message. Minus the penalty for the illegal references. So, at the end of quarter one, Walter 7, Constantine 0.
Well, there you have it, Cam. The first quarter is in the books.
Yes, it is. And I have to admit, I can't believe how dated Walters is. I mean, kind of like the vintage Peyton Manning, mm-hmm. talking about CDs and prints.
Yeah, well, if history is any predictor of what's to come, Walters is not going to be able to hold this lead.
Oh, not a chance. No way.
All right. Well, folks, we know you don't come for the teaching. So we'll be right back right after this commercial.
This is the start of second quarter. Vince, your ball. Please pick from the random phrases.
Okay. Oh, gosh.
Ooh, I likey. It makes me feel... lumber sexual.
Ooh. Ooh. Now, Cam, you, because people might know, you know what a lumber sexual is, right?
I don't.
This is derived from a person that, like, crosses the traits of both a lumberjack and a metrosexual. It's adopted the style, the traits a typical lumberjack may have.
Okay.
A namely a beard, plaid shirt, scruffy beard, a supplement to an otherwise clean-cut persona and the way they dress.
Got it. So in other words, the lead singer of the Crosspoint band.
Yeah, that's pretty much PJ.
Okay. Okay.
Vince, your ball.
So how am I going to work that in here this morning? Well, it was great to be here this morning. First of all, Kurt, you did an awesome job. You took those Hooked on Phonics CDs that your wife gave you for Christmas. You put them to great use. That was fantastic. So, hey, listen, if you're not part of a team, you can't give each other a little bit of ribbing and take a hard time. You probably need to check yourself. Don't take yourself too seriously, right? So here's the truth about me. I'm a team sports guy. I love all team sports. I love football. I love basketball. I love baseball. Heck, I even like hockey. And yes, it is true. I did break my arm about a month ago trying to ice skate. And that is the God's honest truth. I'm healed now, but it's going to be a long time before I get back on that ice. You know, and it's not that I have anything against individual sports. I mean, I like tennis. I like golf. I don't get to play golf as much anymore. But there's something about being part of a team, something great that you build into one another, something that when you come together and everybody moves together as one to one common goal, there's some real power in that. And you know what? You can transcend that outside of sports, right, into your real life. I mean, you can look at a team aspect in work, whether you're in healthcare, you're part of a team, or you're a teacher, you're part of a teaching team. In corporate America, sales, marketing, you're all part of a team. And that there's a power in that. There's also a power in being part of a team at home, right? We're a family. Dysfunctional or not, we're a family. And that family works together as one for the betterment of the entire group. But you know what's interesting is for years, as much of a team sport guy as I am, for years, I've approached my spiritual life completely differently. I approached it as an individual. I came to church. I took the lessons that I learned and applied them. But when anyone said to me, "Hey, how about joining a small group?" No way. I'm not a small group guy at the time. But you know what? And I shared with you this past summer that being connected here at Crosspoint, I felt the need to get out of these rows and into a small group, into a team. And I can tell you there's power in that. It has changed me. It has changed my journey. It's changed my trajectory. Because here's the truth. I realized that team is the way that growth works. Jesus was a team guy. We see this played throughout the scripture. especially with the 12 apostles, his disciples, his following, right? He was a team guy. These were guys that he knew he was going to be close to. He was going to be close with them. He knew what the ultimate goal was to be, to build the church. And he, in all aspects, realized that he was going to spend time with these guys, lean into one another, and they were going to grow together. In fact, he took this decision very seriously. We see in Luke chapter 6, verses 12 and 13, where it talks about the night before he calls them into a relationship with him. It says, in these days, in verse 12, he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And I think that's important. It's not that he prayed for 10 minutes and then slept 8 hours. He wrestled with this decision. He stayed up all night because he knew the significance of the team. And then it says in verse 13, he says, and when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them the 12, whom he called apostles. You see, this was a big decision for Jesus. You know why? Because unlike anything else, Jesus understood one very distinct quality about friends. He realized that they determine the quality and the direction of your life. Friends, more than any other group that you interact with, play a pivotal role in your development. I love this. This past week on Monday, I got a text from a friend of mine, like real early in the morning. He said, hey, have you watched Mike and Mike? And anybody that knows me knows I love sports. And I love sports radio. So, of course, I listened to it. And on there was this gentleman by the name of Herm Edwards. Herm Edwards played in the NFL for several years. He coached the Kansas City Chiefs, the New York Jets. He works for ESPN. He's one of my all-time favorites because I love the things that he says and I love how he builds into things. And he's talking about the concept of the team and talking about the team and leading up to the Super Bowl and why it's so important for these guys to come together as one. And he says this. He says, and I love this quote. He says, who's in your huddle? The people in your huddle will determine your priorities and your values. Determine your priorities and your values. You know what you could say? They determine the trajectory of your life, right? Your life's going to go one of two ways, right? It's either going up, actually three ways, up, sideways, or even down. Your friends determine that trajectory. Who's in your huddle? Who's in your group? That's what I love about football. It's 11 guys on the field, on offense, 11 on defense, coming together at one time for the betterment of the team, right? With one goal in mind. They set aside their own individual accomplishments for the most part because of the group effort that they know that they're looking to get, and that's to get the ball across the goal line and win the championship. And that's what we have in today's game. You know, I love this quote from Vince Lombardi because I think it says it best about the concept of the team. It says this, individual commitment to a group effort. That's what makes a team work, a company work, a society work, a civilization work. And you know what else? It's how church works, the concept of the team, individual commitment to the group effort. You know, every year, you know, you can look at every team and the success. And the success of the team is really kind of determined by three things, right? You have to have a great quarterback. We have that in today's game. That quarterback's got to be protected by an offensive line. We know here in Indianapolis what happens when you don't have a good offensive line. You almost get that poor kid killed, okay? And you go 8-8 and everybody's, you know, up in smoke. And you have to have a great team around them. Well, you know what? I want to talk to you for a second here because the offensive line and its key importance, there's one person on the offensive line that really anchors that line. It's the left tackle. He's usually the second highest paid player on the team after the quarterback. Doesn't get any of the glory. But here's the deal. He protects the quarterback's blind side. Most quarterbacks are right-handed. So you got to protect that blind side from unnecessary hits, from the punishment that they could take and not see that could knock them out of the game. And it's so key and important because the quarterback needs to be able to focus down the field on what the goal is. And so as we think about this morning, we think about who in your life protects your blind side? Who is it that protects you from the unnecessary hits in life? Who is it that keeps you protected so you don't have to focus on the stuff right in front of you? You can look down the field. You know, I can point to someone like that in my life. I can point to several people like that in my life. Several people that protect my blind side, that help to keep me accountable, to keep me on that path, to keep me so I don't take those necessary hits. And someone that, and here it goes, at the risk of sounding lumbersexual, is concerned about my development and not their own.
He did it. does that work?
Yes. He used the random phrase, but I'm not quite sure how it made any sense.
That makes two of us. So the importance of this is this, right? You have to have someone that holds you accountable. You have to have someone that's protecting your blind side. Someone in your huddle that is concerned about your development and not their own. I love this phrase. I love this quote, this verse, however you want to look at it from Proverbs chapter 27, verse 6. It says this, faithful are the wounds of a friend, profuse are the kisses of an enemy. And this is the important thing here because I think this is so key an element. In other words, all this is saying is the truth hurts. The truth hurts. Being accountable is not making the other person feel comfortable all the time, right? I don't need a bunch of yes people in my life, and none of us do. but it's about being accountable. Perhaps you can think about a time in your life where you were headed down a particular path that you knew wasn't going to end well. Was there someone there that protected your blind side? Not covered up your mistakes, but helped you see through the nonsense, the garbage, the stuff in front of you to get to the ultimate goal. And you know what? Here's the deal. You have to ask yourself today, who's in my huddle? Who is it that's in my huddle? Maybe you have someone in your life, maybe you don't, that protects your blind side. If you don't, here's what I want you to do as one of your next steps today. Pray about that. Find that person. Now, you're not likely to find them out in the atrium today or maybe out to tailgate. You never know. But pray that you find someone that God will build into your life to protect your blind side. And if you have that person, if you have that person in your life, text them, call them. That person may be sitting next to you right now. And thank them. Thank them for having your blind side. Thank them for building into you. Thank them for being committed to your goodness and not their own. Because here's the truth in all of this. Team is how growth works.
Touchdown!
Yes!
That was outstanding. Good for 7 points and a 3-point addition for using somehow the random phrase sexual lumber. So that leaves us at the end of the first half with a score of Walter 7, Constantine 10.
Yes!
All right. Cam, we got ourselves a tight game heading into halftime. Your quick reactions to that first half.
Aside from the sexual lumber part, I think both played outstanding Bible verse usage. I mean, even leaking it to football. But Kurt was definitely hurt by that penalty. That might make all the difference in this game.
Totally agree. That did hurt. Well, folks, there is one thing standing between you and a fantastic halftime show. It's this commercial break.
Thank you for watching the 2016 Game Day Teach-Off Halftime Show featuring a band that was not Coldplay. Brought to you by The Commons at Crosspoint, now open Monday through Thursday, 9 to 5 and 9 to 3 Fridays, serving up free Wi-Fi and free coffee that's changing the world one cup at a time. Find out more at drinkcoffeedogood.com.
I so love that band that is not Coldplay.
Absolutely.
There.
How about one more time giving up for the Crosspoint House Band?
Bring it every week. Hey, before we get back to our second half, I want to run down a few things going on here at Crosspoint. One is, as you walked in this morning, you got one of these. It's your game day guide. Inside that, you've got this thing called a connection card. If you could grab that, take that out along with the pen that you received as you walked in this morning. Now, if you're a partner, regular attender here at Crosspoint, you kind of know the drill. Put your name on here. If any information has changed recently, please update this card. Check any boxes that need to be checked. That would be awesome. If you're a guest with us today, we're glad to have you here this morning. We're those a ton of different places. You could be on Super Sunday, so thanks for being here. If you could fill out this card too, put as much information on here as you feel comfortable sharing with us. One other thing we want to point out as it relates to this connection card, you can now do this through the Crosspoint app. We're beta testing, essentially an online connection card. You can access it through this week on the Crosspoint app, so you can do all the things that you normally do on this card on that connection card app. Now, we'll refer to this card a little bit later on in the service, but as you exit today, you can take this card along with any financial gifts, drop it in this thing we call a joy box.
Woo!
Oh, come on, a joy box.
Woo!
You'll find that to the side of each door as you exit today. And as you fill out that card, I want to tell you about some stuff coming up here at Crosspoint next weekend. Things get back to normal, or as normal as they get here
okay.
at Crosspoint.
All right,
we know it's a relative term. Same regular times, 9:30 and 11 o'clock in here in the venue. Awesome kids environments, as always. And we're really excited. Next weekend, we kick off something that we really feel is going to impact the next decade here at Crosspoint. It's something we're calling the Game Change Initiative. So if you're a regular around here, we hope that you plan to be with us each and every weekend from February 14th through March 20th. Now, if you're a guest, this is your first time with us at Crosspoint, we hope you're back with us next week. You'll get a little insight into the heartbeat of what makes Crosspoint run here, and which is going after spiritual freedom for other people and our friends. And here's a sneak peek as to what's to come.
In 2009, Malcolm Gladwell wrote this article for The New Yorker called How David Beats Goliath. In it, he explains that when underdogs fight differently, they often win, even when everything we think we know about power says they shouldn't. He gives an example of this girls' basketball coach who had never coached. He'd never even played basketball, and here he was stuck with this group of inexperienced 12-year-old girls. Needless to say, the odds were majorly stacked against them. This coach needed to find a way, any way, to give his team an advantage. So he decided to run a full court press every game, the entire game. And even though what they were doing was perfectly legal, it frustrated the other teams, and the other coaches complained that this was not the way you were supposed to play the game. But that rookie coach and this inexperienced group of girls made it all the way to the championship. They didn't break any rules, but they changed the game, and they won.
And there's your beautiful baby.
Any day now.
Really? You're eating Doritos? He's eating Doritos at my ultrasound. Do you see what I have to do?
I know.
No! Give me that!
Now, Cam, yeah. You and your wife, Tori, are expecting at any moment, almost at any moment, yes. Any consideration of bringing the Doritos.
There will not be a single tortilla chip in that room after seeing that.
All right, so we are back, and Cam, what are you looking for in the second half?
Well, now, both players left way too many points on the table, on the field, what have you out there, and if you're going to win this championship, you have got to be error-free.
That's right. That is one of the keys. Let's head back down to the field for our second half.
This is the start of the second half. Vince, it's going to be your ball. Please pick your random phrase. Pick a good one.
Yep. Okay.
Oh. All right. Some two pieces are just more flattering on men.
Ooh. Well, that makes me nervous again.
Hopefully there's no visual hammocks out there.
All right. You make me nervous as well.
That's what I'm here for. Color analyst.
Did you come up with these phrases?
I do not.
I don't know.
I just hold on to them.
You need to watch SportsCenter, get away from Home Garden TV, something, because that's awful. That's horrible. All right. So here's a unique concept to the team. And this is a concept that we all struggle with. And it's this concept of grace. And it's unique in the context of Jesus. And it's unique to his character. It's a difficult concept for us to all grasp, right? And I heard someone say it this way one time. He said, grace is like getting the greatest present that you can ever receive in the entire world, and you did everything in your power not to deserve it. Everything in your power not to deserve it. It's this unbelievable thing that comes to us that all we have to do is accept it. All we have to do is receive it. We can't work for it. You can't do anything to get it. All you have to do is be willing to accept it. And we struggle with this because of what we're led to believe, right? We have this perception of what perfect or what it looks like, right? This perception is put in front of us all the time. Here's what the perfect family looks like. You don't still live up to it. Here's what the perfect husband looks like, or the perfect wife, the perfect relationship, the perfect kids, finance, you name it. There's this perception that we all struggle to live up to. But we see this, and we see something different in the Bible. We see this man named Jesus, and when Jesus comes to us, we get a completely different outlook. We see this man that understands that, you know what, and he says this to us, I know you're going to make mistakes. I know that in your life, you're going to have failures. You're going to have times where things don't go, and you can't live up, and there's going to be this gap between how you are and where you think you need to be. But he says this. He says, I can fill that gap. I can come in and fill that space for you. And if you receive my grace, I will fulfill and bridge that gap for you. And it's a powerful statement, but oftentimes it's an unbelievable thing for us to accept. We have a very difficult time in wrapping our minds around it. But here's an interesting way to look at it. In the context of team, it would be like this. It would be like a teammate that stays with you, that's faithful to you, even when you fail. Now, if we go back to last year in the NFC Championship game, we see this play out, right? The NFC Championship game is between the Seattle Seahawks and the Green Bay Packers. And for about 58 minutes and 30 seconds, Green Bay is killing Seattle. Now, I'm going to fast forward here a little bit because when we get to the end of the game, you see this very emotional Russell Wilson. And he gives this emotional interview. And during that interview, the guy is breaking down. He can barely control himself. And here's why I believe why. His team gave him grace. You see, Russell Wilson, for those 58 minutes and 30 seconds, flat out stunk. He was horrible. He's supposed to be the leader of the team. He goes down the field, and all he does, he throws 4 interceptions, 0 touchdowns, and has what's called a passer rating of 0. Now, for those of you that are not familiar with football, a passer rating of 0 basically means you stink. I could do that, right? Anybody in the audience could do that. He was horrific. But somehow he leads his team back, and his team instills this attitude of grace that Russell Wilson receives, and he's overcome with emotion. Take a look at this clip.
Every time, these guys on this team are unbelievable, man. The fight, the relentless fight over and over again. The people used to doubt, man. I'm just excited to be on this team, excited to play with the guys. I mean, 4 minutes up in the game, 3 minutes, 4 interceptions, and just keep playing. And these guys just keep believing in me, man.
Wow, what a memorable moment.
Absolutely.
There.
Absolutely. Oh, what do we have here?
What's this about?
What do you want to challenge?
We can't have grown black men crying on the screen at Cross Point. I mean,
all right. Kim, do you want to touch this one here?
Nope. Well,
we can't have anybody crying on the screen at Cross Point.
I agree. There should not be any crying in football. However, why are you making this about race? I am going to call a penalty.
Oh, yeah.
Race mask. These penalties are going to offset. Vince, you'll retain the ball.
All right. Kurt can't afford a race mask at this point in the
game. Not the race mask. No, it's questionable to throw a challenge flag on that one, let alone the comment.
So here's the deal. All right, now I realize this. Russell Wilson probably doesn't get brought to tears every time he wins a game, right? I'm sure that every time any NFL football player or any great athlete wins a great game, they don't get brought to tears. But you see, here's the thing. He's been given this power, this thing called grace, and he receives it. He's overcome with emotion. And if we kind of broke our lives down, if we really broke it down in the moments that we're not at our best and we receive the grace from Jesus, I think one of the things that we would find is we would become overwhelmed with that emotion. But here's the great part of this story, because it doesn't end here. You see, Russell Wilson receives this grace, but he also extends it. He also gives it out. And we have a difficult time with that, don't we, right? We receive this grace from Jesus, and we're forgiven of our sins, and we accept our failures, yet sometimes we continue to judge others. We continue to judge others and their failures, continue to make comments, continue to think, hey, you know what? How come you're not better? And this gets transcended into this game. Because you see, Russell Wilson's go-to guy is this guy by the name of Jermaine Kearse. Jermaine Kearse is his number one wide receiver. When he needs a first down, the first option is to look for Jermaine Kearse. It's his number one guy. It's his go-to guy. But Jermaine Kearse is a hot mess during this exact same game. In fact, he dropped 5 passes during the game. Now, to put that in relevant terms, most NFL players in a season don't drop five passes. So he's horrible. So here's what happens. Russell Wilson goes up to him and says, dude, I know that you've had a bad game today, but you're still my guy. You're my go-to guy. And if somehow we get this game into overtime, I'm coming to you. What a powerful statement, man. You're still my guy. I'm coming to you. And so here's what happens. They make it miraculously to overtime. And the first drive in overtime with Seattle, he's driving the ball down the field. And who does he throw to? He throws this long touchdown pass, and it's double coverage, and it goes to Jermaine Kearse. And they win the game, and they're on their way to their second Super Bowl. It's hard enough to go to your first Super Bowl, but let alone to go to your second in back-to-back years. An amazing, amazing thing. So, Kurt, I have a quick question for you while we're on this subject. How awesome would it be to win one Super Bowl? That'd be awesome. Wouldn't it be great? And wouldn't it be great to go and maybe have the chance to win
that
a second
absolutely
one?
Absolutely awesome.
That would be fantastic. So I'm sure you can relate to this, buddy. Wouldn't you say that some two pieces are just more flattering on men? Aren't they? And wouldn't 2 Super Bowl rings be that way?
He did.
So, you know, so buddy, why don't we just capture this in a quick selfie moment?
Oh, he's pulling a Cam Newton superhero out there.
Awesome. Amazing. Woo! Amazing feat of words. He even took a celebration selfie, put it right in Kurt's face.
Right in the grill.
What a great moment. So there's a special power when grace operates with the team, and I hope Kurt gives me grace. A special power. And we see this played out in Jesus' life. You know, by all accounts, one of Jesus' closest disciples, apostles, was a man by the name of Peter. And Peter's a lot like you and me. Peter has failed a lot. He's made a lot of mistakes. And at the most critical time in Jesus' life, when Jesus is being arrested, Peter denies him. He denies him three times, denies knowing him. And here's the powerful thing. On the other side of the cross at the resurrection, Jesus goes to Peter and says, man, it's okay. You're still my guy. He says it to him three times. You're still my guy. You're still my guy. And you know what? He says that to us today. He says that to us. You're still my guy. You're still my girl. I know you've made mistakes. I know that you've screwed up. I know that you've let people down. I know that you've messed up at work. But you're still my guy. You're still my guy. You're still my girl. And I love how he puts it in 2 Timothy verse, chapter 2, verse 13. He says this. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. You see, the good news is just that. Grace is according to God's character. He can't deny himself. It's woven into the fabric of who he is. And friends, I'm here to tell you this. I've experienced grace time and time and time again in my life. And it's not an easy concept to get. But I can tell you this, that team is the way that grace works.
That is a touchdown.
Yes.
Outstanding way to bring that message. And I have to say, I'm going to give you 3 points for cleverly getting that random phrase slide in there with that selfie. So after quarter three, we have Walter 7. Constantine 20.
Man, Constantine is just dominating, Ken.
Yeah, I don't see any possible way how Kurt's coming back from this.
And then that questionable use of the race card and the race mask may ultimately doom him.
It's going to hurt him.
All right, well, Walters, pull from the random phrase. All right, here it is. Which can be best illustrated by this dance move?
Ooh, dancing, not Kurt's strong suit.
No, not at all. I mean, looking at Kurt, it wouldn't surprise me if he broke out the sprinkler, the lawnmower, maybe even the top shelf.
You know, team works if you work the team. And one of the great dynamics of team, as Vince put so eloquently, is grace. But where in our society can you go to get that grace? Do you have a team that you can receive grace from? You know, is corporate America going to give you that grace?
No, they're not.
Your homeowner association give you grace?
Not in my hood.
IRS going to give you grace?
Not if you're working with Satanga.
I mean, you know, they're just... I could go on and on and on. It's like a haterade fest of all the places that don't give us grace. The one place you should be able to go and get grace is Jesus' team. Jesus assembles his team of 12 teammates, 12 apostles, and basically they start reproducing themselves. They start starting churches all over the Mediterranean area, the Mediterranean rim, eventually spreads all throughout the Middle East, and even to this part of the world. And here we are 2,000 years later being impacted by the local church even yet today. One place you can go is a place like this. In fact, in John chapter 15, Jesus said it this way. He said, "No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I have called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you." He says, hey, you're not some peon who doesn't know what the master's doing, doesn't know what's happening. He says, no, I'm going to call you a friend. You're on the team. He invites us into the team. This is absolutely amazing. And this is how team works. In fact, here's an idea. One of the things that I've began to operate in is something very similar to how Jesus operates. And we need to leverage this in team. You know, so many times you meet with maybe your boss or whatever, and they give you a list of things to work on, and we begin to work on all of our weaknesses. But what if we begin to operate outside of our weaknesses? What if, hey, here's an idea. What if we don't focus on our weaknesses at all? I mean, what if we get outside of our weaknesses and we begin to assemble a team around us that fills in the gap of our weaknesses? And this is how I've been organizing my life recently, more and more. In fact, you know, my marriage is going pretty good. In fact, I don't know, my marriage is actually going really good right now. And one of the reasons
of
my
Julie.
Marriage...
Yeah, it's because of your wife, Julie.
110%.
Yeah. One of the reasons my marriage is going really, really good is because Julie and I have learned how to work as a team. You know, it used to be early in our marriage, she'd leave out a coffee cup, and I'd be like, all right, I'm gonna leave that coffee cup out. I'm going to put it right where she'll notice it, and I'd kind of dig at her to make sure, you know, she needs to take care of that. And you know, one of the things I realized is that when we came together in marriage, we became one. And when I make little digs at her, instead of just serving her and saying, hey, man, she must have been busy when she left today. That's why she left her cup out. When I serve her, it benefits both of us. But when I do the little dig at her, or a little sarcasm, it actually hurts both of us because we're one. You know, another way that we operate as team is recently we had to purchase a car. And, you know, it used to be whenever we'd have to get a car, I'd make Julie sit down. We'd go through Craigslist together. We'd go through all the used car, you know, reports. I'd make her look at all the mechanical reports. I'm like, you need to read these for 3 hours. You know, figure out what you think, which car is best. I'm going to do the same. We're going to come together. And I realized, man, she has no desire to do that. She has no desire to read the mechanical reports of cars we're looking at. And so I just thought, you know what? From this point on, as long as she's married to me, she's not going to do that anymore. All right, I'm going to go do the research. I'm going to kind of figure out what we might want, bring it to her, you know, kind of say, hey, Julie, here's what's out there. Here's what we could look at. And then we make a decision together because this is what you do when you're in a team. You know, and there's things she does and brings for me as well. In fact, one of the things she's awesome at is gift giving. Man, I suck at gift giving, right? I mean, it's like I walk in the store and butt pucker. I'm like, oh, you know, it's like I have a creative block. But, you know, for her, man, she does all the inquiry, all the research. You know, here's what we ought to get for our kids or for our family. And then we come together and she says, hey, what do you think about these two options? Should we get the kids, you know, pie in the face, or should we get Just Dance like this?
Turn down for what?
Is he having a seizure? Do we need to call paramedic?
It looks like he pulled a muscle half human people don't even have.
I guess it's not in the rule book.
Oh, it should be.
Oh, the Singletary swipe.
See, one of the things we realize around here is this is the way Crosspoint operates. You know, and listen, I'm awful. I am awful at long-range planning, all right?
Oh, yeah.
I'm terrible. No. I'm a vision guy, so I get this idea of here's where we are, here's where we need to be, and then I pull a team around me to help me get from here to there. Instead of focusing on my weakness, how do I bring the right people into my team? And see, this is something that's helped us stay on track. This is something we do more and more. And see, all these things, again, we decided this 9 years ago that we're going to be about purpose instead of personality. We're going to be about the collective whole of this team coming together to be a blessing, not a few superstars on the platform and everybody else just sits around. And see, we're actually learning this and assembling this based on what Jesus says. Like, here's what he says in John 15 again, verse 16 and 17. He says, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you. By the way, you right there is plural. Right? He's not pointing to you, to like me, you as an individual. He's saying you. I chose you. You, the team, I'm building into you that you should go and bear fruit. Whew. Haven't done the sprinkler for a while. Man. It's like, take one big breath. That you should go and bear fruit, and that you should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you, so that you will love one another. So where in the world can I go to get grace? You know where you can go? You can go to the local church. That's where you can go. You can come to a place like this. You can get grace in a place like this here at Crosspoint. In fact, why don't you go ahead and take out your connection cards that we referred to earlier this morning. You know, each and every week, we give you a few next steps to just kind of connect the dots. And whether you're here for the first time or every single week, you know, listen, if you're here this morning, you're like, man, I need a place like this, a team, then one of the next steps is just returning next weekend. In fact, I'd encourage you to return like 3 or 4 weeks in a row and make it a habit for a few weeks and see if maybe God doesn't really connect into your life in some way. Maybe you've been here and your next step is going to explore Crosspoint as a way to find out how to get connected. You know, if you don't have a team that has your backside, as Vince laid out for us, critically important. We have all kinds of places to get into a team around here. Groups, you know, that are going in the same direction for healing, for growth, for fitness. You know, the people that are just about the same things. We have groups for men, groups for women, groups for couples to attend together, community groups, you know, grief groups, all kinds of things. Maybe you need to find a place where you can get into a team. You know, and we're assembling this place very similar to how Jesus assembled his team. And so if you don't have a place where you can contribute, where you can be like, man, there's things I bring to the table that I can do to touch other people's lives. Man, we invite you to try serving around here, volunteering around here. We'd love to plug you into a team where you can, you know, give a little extra of yourself to be a blessing to other people. In fact, that's another one of the steps on here. And why do we give each other grace around here? You know why? Because we believe God is using this team to continue to be a blessing in and through our community. So you need to find a team, whether it's here, whether it's somebody out, someplace else, you know, in another church. I mean, we're all on the same team. You need to find a team, and you need to operate as a teammate, because this is how successful and effective people operate. See, team works when you work the team.
That is good for 7 points.
And woo! There it is.
Now, I believe that you are horrible at long-range planning, but you're also horrible at dancing, so please do not do that again. I will give you, though, pity points for getting the random phrase. So, at the end of the game, we have Walter 17, Constantine 20, our 2016 Game Day Teach-Off Champion, Vince Constantine.
Hey, let's thank the team up here. Speaking of team, it takes all of these teammates, Van, Cam, Eric on announcements, and on commentators. The tech team in the back, let's thank tech team in the back. Man, they rocked it this morning. How about our band up here on the stage this morning? Yeah, man, knocking out of the house. Hey, it takes people in our kids' environments, holding babies, serving coffee, welcoming you in the front door. I mean, these are all the ways here at Crosspoint that team works. And so it's been great to have you here this morning. We're going to get you up on your feet one more time, so stand with us. And we're going to rise up to capture the level of team that God calls us to.